I'm Rob Rosenthal, and this is How Sound, the backstory to great audio storytelling. How Sound is a production of PRX and Transom. Heads up, there are a few swears in this episode. Back in 2006, Hilary Frank had her next idea for a young adult novel. She'd written and published two books by that time, and she really wanted to write a third, a story set in middle school that reveals the dark truth about life for young people when they're preteens.
And when I pitched it to my agent at the time, he said, if you want to write something this dark, you got to age it up because it'll be classified as middle grade and nobody will publish this as middle grade. So just age it up 1 year to high school and then you can write this. And it sounds like it'll be a great story. And it was just, I couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it because she felt like shining a light on the brutality, that's her word, by the way, the brutality of middle school. And by brutality, Hilary means bullying and harassment and racism and sexism and homophobia, all of it. It's all there in middle school, and she feels it gets swept under the rug. Instead, she says it needs to be talked about for what it is, and most definitely not aged up.
And so I just shelved it.
Hilary wasn't sure she'd ever be able to tell the story she had in mind, but it stayed with her. And years later, she thought, wait, what about a podcast?
And I thought, well, podcasting doesn't really have rules exactly yet. You can do anything you want. And there aren't even really genres within fiction. There's fiction, right, in the podcast apps, which most people who make the fiction have interpreted to be sci-fi or horror. And I just decided, well, I'm going to interpret it to mean like weird YA podcast about the brutality of middle school.
How did you know how to do it, though?
I didn't.
Well, you wouldn't know that from the sound of the podcast. It's called Here Lies Me. And here's the opening couple of minutes.
I think God likes me.
Wait, big or little?
Little.
Ew.
I know.
What makes you think that? Did he, like, say something?
No. It's just last night I was at the movie in the park with my sister.
Uh-huh.
And little God, he was sitting in front of us and he was just...
Barf, was he, like, wanking it?
No! Gross. Livy, why would you say that? Ugh, no, don't make me pick... Oh, no, no. He just... Instead of watching the movie, he was, like, watching me. He has back to the screen the entire time.
Noah!
What?
This is bad!
I mean, maybe not.
No, Noah, listen to me. This is really, really bad. God is gonna wife you up.
He can't just force
me to
marry.
Well, he's gonna try! And it won't be cute. Seriously, Noah, you know what happens when little God has a crush. Everyone knows. He, like, literally marks you. No one will want to come near you, or talk to you, or be friends with you. Maybe not even me.
Don't even joke, Liv. I can't survive this year without you.
Eighth grade, mofo! We rule this place!
Hey, don't tell the others when they get here. About God, okay?
Fine. Cross my heart. Hope to die.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Here lies me.
Here lies me. Woo!
Here Lies Me dropped in the fall of 2021, and I think it was one of the best podcasts of that year. A listener review put it this way, quote, I can't explain why I'm so obsessed. Maybe it's the top-notch writing, the amazing actors, or the infectious drums, unquote. Well, I'd say it's probably all three, and more. Here Lies Me is performed by high school students, and it follows the story of Noah, an eighth grader, navigating the brutality. There are the Olivias, a crew of mean girls who dump Noah, even though she'd been friends with some of them since grade school. And there's Micah, a kid who goes by the nickname Little God, who relentlessly pursues Noah in a kind of creepy eighth grade sort of way. Listening to the podcast, I couldn't help but ask myself, Is this when sexual harassment starts? Middle school? Is this what it looks like? And what can juvenile behavior like this develop into? Is it even juvenile? Along the way, there's a lot of frank discussion about sex and death and friendship and race and bigotry. So frank, Hillary told me her sixth grade daughter isn't ready to listen to the whole thing yet. Now, Hillary laughed when she said she didn't know how to write a fiction story for a podcast. And there's some truth behind that laughter. While Hillary has produced some fiction for the Third Coast Festival, and she was involved early on with The Truth, a fiction podcast from Radiotopia, Hillary's mostly worked as a journalist and nonfiction storyteller. She's produced pieces for This American Life and Marketplace and NPR news magazines, and for years she ran all the things for her podcast about parenting, The Longest Shortest Time. So while writing fiction wasn't new to her, given the novels she'd written, writing what was essentially a long-form, serialized radio drama was. So to figure out how to do it, she studied.
I read a lot of TV and movie scripts. I listened, like I turned the laptop away from me and listened to TV shows and would sort of try to pay attention to what was translating in audio only and what wasn't.
Excuse me for a moment while I go die. Here lies me, Noah Bloom, age 13, tragically killed by God's crush. Just do me a favor and give me a Jewish funeral. So no flowers, and tell everyone to throw a stone at me. Right into my grave. Don't worry, they won't need much convincing.
Enough. Unless you're having so much fun, you want to keep it up in detention.
How old are you, Hillary?
How old do you think I am?
No, I'm not playing that game.
I'm 45.
So you're 45. Thank you for answering, by the way. And I'm wondering how someone who's 45 climbs into the mind of someone in middle school in order to write narration. Like, this one line caught my attention. He's going to wife you up.
This is really, really bad. God is going to wife you up.
Wow, it's funny that you latched onto that one. I didn't write that. So I'll tell you, but it's really cool how that line made it in. But first of all, I'll say, I think that dialogue is the thing that comes most naturally to me. Writing a plot does not. Maybe it's because I eavesdrop a lot or because I just can kind of remember things that people have said, phrases stick in my head. Also, I have a daughter who's in middle school. I find writing dialogue really fun, and trying to get into the mind of how kids say things is really fun for me. But also, when we were recording, the first thing we did was kind of like a quote-unquote table read. We had all of the kids come to the first recording session all at the same time. There was 12 of them. And we just had them read through the scripts without stopping. And in between acts, I would just ask them, is there anything in here that didn't make sense to you or that didn't sound teen-like? And if there was anything that didn't sound teen-like, they would call me on it. And there wasn't a lot of stuff. But I think the wife you up line originally was, God's going to make you his bae. And they were like, no one says that anymore. And I was like, okay, well, what would they say? And they said, wife you up. And I was like, thank you.
What do you mean by eavesdropping?
So if I'm at the pool, the town pool, I will kind of just swim by where I think where there's a bunch of preteens hanging out and shouting to each other. They're not having private conversations. They're having very loud conversations. And I just hang out near them and listen to, I'm not listening for the gossip. I'm listening for what do they talk like? What words do they use? They drop a lot of F-bombs.
Sure. I guess I can woman up. Speak my mind like Danny. But you want to know where that landed her? The loser table. Not that she cares, but I do. So I think I'll keep my mouth shut and do the only logical thing. Have lunch in the bathroom. Tuna on white bread. I don't have to open the sandwich to know the pickles are arranged like a smiley face. How Dad always does on the first day of school. By the way, I don't know what you're picturing, but yes, I'm sitting in a stall. And yes, my pants are on. My table manners aren't that bad.
Oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. No fucking way.
Are you talking to me?
Is there anyone else in here?
I don't think so. Is that O?
Yeah, bestie, it's me. And you're wearing my fucking shoes.
You looked under the stall?
That little heart on the toe? I drew that. My mom gave those bad boys to Goodwill.
What are you doing? You're supposed to sit on the toilet, not on the top of the stall.
View's better from up here.
You're a psycho. You're just gonna watch me?
Who's the psycho? I'm not eating lunch while I poo.
I'm not pooping. I'm just sitting. Whatever.
Look, we were gonna do this later as a group, but this is better. I'm actually doing you a favor, doing it in private.
Doing what? What are we doing?
Girl, this is hard AF to say, but we voted and everyone agrees. You need to stop hanging out with us.
Stop hanging out with who? I just met you.
Right. Sorry. I mean, stop hanging out with them. Livy, Via, Olivia. And don't bother hanging out with me, because, like, we're all literally boy crazy right now. And it's like, I mean, how are we supposed to get guys? I mean, hot ones, if you're, like, linked to us. You're a literal cringe fest.
Very funny. This is one of Livy's pranks, isn't it?
Oh, babe, I wish it was. Trust me. Livy didn't want to talk shit about you, but once she got started, it was like she couldn't stop.
No, you're lying. What'd she say?
I guess it all comes down to your personality.
My personality?
No offense, but you don't really have one.
How is that no offense?
Noah, you're just kind of a sheep. Livy says you follow her around.
I don't follow. We're best friends.
You laugh when she laughs. You agree with her always, even when you have no clue what she's talking about.
I know what she's talking about.
And you're afraid to swear. And we're pretty sure you're asexual.
You just got here. You can't just show up and, like, kick me out or something. I'll talk to Livy. I think at this point I know her better than you do.
I told Livy you'd probably mature when you get your period.
Wait, how do you... Wait, she told you I haven't?
I know this sucks, but you'll be okay. I mean, God's looking out for you, right? Maybe he'll save you from that new kid and your little sex slaviness or whatever.
Have you ever had that thing where you do something, but it doesn't feel like it's you doing it? Like you've left your body and you're watching yourself do something the real you would never do. Yeah, so don't blame me for what's happening right now. That's not really me. Dunking my sandwich in the toilet and hurling it at the psycho on top of the bathroom stall. Ooh! Right in her face.
What the fuck? Ow! You did not just hit me in the face with a fucking tuna sandwich dipped in fucking toilet water. Oh my fucking God, my foot! My foot!
Fuck! Here Lies Me is a production of Lemonada Media. Stephanie Whittleswalks, one of the co-founders of Lemonada, used to teach at the Kinder High School for the Performing Arts in Houston, Texas. And that's how Hillary ended up working with students there, a dozen of them. Several adult actors also performed, and Hillary's daughter, Sasha, also took a role. And she played drums for the music in the podcast. The way Hillary cast the student performers went like this. She wrote up sketches for each character in the story, sent them to the class. The students read through them. They picked the character they felt best suited for, and then they recorded an audition tape and sent it in.
It was immediately clear to us who should play what character, just listening to them. And I had never met them. All I had was like a minute-long audition from them. And meeting them later, I was like, oh yeah, we nailed this with the casting.
Huh. And so the young woman who plays Noah, the main character.
Yeah, Ollie Grishaber.
Did she try out for Noah?
She did.
And so what did you see that made you say, oh yeah, she nailed it?
I loved her deep voice. I loved how awkward she sounded. I think in her audition, she almost sounded like, I don't know if she has braces, but she almost sounded like she did. I knew that all of these kids were actually, you know, a few years older than the characters they would be playing. And I think at first we had a concern that maybe she sounded too old. But I don't know, there was a vulnerability to her that I just really loved.
Why don't I have a phone?
We've been over this. It's an unnecessary
expense. How come we only buy clothes that are way on sale that everyone else has rejected, or clothes that used to belong to other people? Do you know that someone's dad once told me my shirt used to be his? And a sixth grader told me, stupid, her old car.
Sixth graders really shouldn't be driving.
Dad, it's not funny. It's not.
Okay, I just don't really know.
Why was my bat mitzvah party just some lame lunch at temple? Who does that?
People do that.
Nobody here does that.
So you cast the crew who's going to act this out, and now it's time for them to perform. How did that work?
The way we recorded this was the way you film a movie. I guess TV shows, we recorded everything out of order. So that we could group scenes between certain characters. And actually, the interesting thing about that is because we did that and because it was all of our first times doing this, we didn't realize that what would happen is that, like, over time, they would get more and more comfortable and better at doing this. And so we wound up with a show where, like, some of the scenes sounded so much more authentic than the stuff that we did in the beginning, and we had to go back and re-record a lot of the stuff.
Yikes. That's a lot of time and effort.
It is. It's just like these sessions were massive. There was just so many tracks because we were recording not only like these individual sessions with either one person or small groups. We also did like all of the hubbub that you hear underneath this like classroom scenes and playground scenes. Most of that is custom made. And so we would also have these sessions where I would go through all of the scenes and just like shout commands at them, like, you know, you're playing on the playground and oh, something happens in the distance that's interesting, and oh, the girls are shouting at the guys in this fight. And we had hours and hours of that as well to sift through.
You're the only one of us who got in? Bullshit. Kaylee and Kylie fucked it up, didn't they? Their synchronizing was a fucking disaster, but I killed it. Why'd they take you? Just because you're skinny?
I don't know, Danny. Guess we need a new plan.
No way. No new plan. It's a brilliant plan. You've got this.
Hello? Have you met me? I can't pull this off myself. I'm too quiet. You heard me at tryout. And you're right. There's no reason they should have picked me. I can't dance. I can't kick. I can't even touch my toes.
You've got it in you, Noah.
Yeah, you do.
Come on. It was your idea to get all revengey. You just need confidence. We'll practice.
Let's talk about it later. I have to get to my orchestra audition.
Why are you being like this?
It seemed like a good idea when it was a whole WAG thing, but now it's just me? Have you even seen the list? Livy got in. Via, Olivia, remember? My old friends who dumped me? I can't just go be on a team with them. I'm gonna screw up all the routines and they'll hate me forever.
You actually think the Olivias are gonna take you back?
No, sorry, Danny, I really have to go to this audition. Speedwalking is kind of hard with the cello.
Admit it. You still want to be friends with them. Why? They're not even that popular. They're mean girls minus the status.
I don't know, Danny. They've been my friends for years. Look, I know they were mean to you in elementary school, but it was elementary school. Can't you just get over it?
Okay. Just so I understand. You're saying I should just get over a bunch of girls mocking me? Stuffing toilet paper down their shirts and parading around school going, "Hi, I'm Danny."
No, that's not
what... Do you have any idea that I literally thought I had breast cancer because my boobs started growing so early?
No.
And that in sixth grade, I promised myself that I'd get breast reduction surgery one day?
Why are you yelling at me? I'm not the one who did it.
But you laughed. You laughed about it when they did it.
What is happening? I thought we were talking about cheerleading. Ugh, I'm gonna be late. Let's talk at lunch, okay?
No thanks. I'm done here.
You directed?
Yes.
Had you directed before?
I mean, I've directed people reading narration for nonfiction a lot, and I thought it was going to be the same thing, and it was not.
What was different?
So this is, again, where I learned a lot from Stephanie Whittleswax. You know, I think my first inclination was to get people to act toward a feeling. Like you know, if something sounded flat to me, I would think like, well, we need you to sound more angry here or more hurt. And that was the direction that I would give. And what I heard her do was talk to people about acting not toward an emotion, but a motivation. And, you know, like, what does your character want here? What are they trying to make happen? And that gets so much of a better performance. It makes them more authentic and scaled back. The other thing I didn't think about was something that Stephanie calls human noise. And human noise is the stuff that, like, I think I've been doing a lot where I'm like, and like clearing your throat and that kind of stuff. That's kind of stuff you don't really write into a script, and you need it in acting. And so once we started directing the kids to add that stuff in, that really changed everything. And I started to learn also that they would make those human noises as we were working together. So like I would ask them to do something and they might go, or like, okay. And whenever I needed stuff like that, I would go and pull the stuff that they actually did and drop it into the scene.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. And so even like, it turns out it's really hard for people to make an authentic laugh. And so I stopped trying to get them to do authentic laughs, and we were having enough fun that they laughed a lot. And so like in the first episode in the cafeteria scene where you hear Seb laugh at Noah after she's been running around the cafeteria, and he says, like, I think you might be my favorite person ever. That laugh is something that he did authentically during a recording session, and I grabbed it and I dropped it into that spot.
It's not funny.
Sorry.
Can you think of a scene in particular that you think best exemplifies the harassment that you were hoping to portray?
Down here.
Okay.
Welcome to my laboratory.
That's what you call your basement?
That's what I call the best room in my basement. I'll take you there in a minute.
Whoa, your basement has rooms?
Yours doesn't?
I made an episode that takes place almost entirely in Little God's basement. he's a magician, and he wants to do this magic trick on Noah. And so for almost the entire episode, Noah is trapped in his magic box, you know, where like the sawing the lady in half trick kind of box.
That a coffin?
A coffin? No, it's my box. My magic box. My most prized possession.
What does it do?
My dear lady, it doesn't do anything. I'm the magician. It's about what I do.
So what do you do with it?
I saw ladies in half!
Whoa! I thought that was just a magic show thing, like for professionals. No offense, you do actually seem pretty profesh.
None taken. I am pretty profesh. Hey!
Yeah?
Let's do it.
Do what?
Let's saw you in half!
Oh. Like right now?
Come on! It'll be so romantic.
Throughout this episode, Little God goes back and forth between being endearing and completely terrifying and harassing Noah into like making her feel like she has to give in to being his girlfriend. My intent there was for you to really feel what it feels like to be a person being harassed.
I'm not cheating on you. I just don't want to be with you. Will you unlock this box already?
Yes. If you promise to stay with me.
That's insane.
Noah, in that scene, was clear.
Mm-hmm.
Let me out of the box. This needs to stop.
That's right.
And he wouldn't do it.
But I think that the his intermittent charm was really key, though, because I think that that, at least in my experience, is how it often goes down in real life, where the person who is harassing you, it's confusing because they can be charming, or maybe the reason you got into the situation where they're harassing you is because they were charming in the first place. Not always, of course, but I think it's something that happens.
What's your mission?
In general or with the show?
With the show.
I want people to take a close look at what bullying and harassment looks like in middle school, and you know, think about whether there are changes we can make in the way that we socialize kids at that age to hopefully prevent bullying and harassment and assault in the future.
Do you think a podcast can do that?
I think it can start conversations. Like, my husband listened to it and he was like, oh my God, I think this is the first time that I really understand what it feels like to be a girl. You know, and I guess that to me feels like a first step. I feel like this show could be used as a tool in schools, you know, in schools where there are adults who aren't scared off by the language and some of the content, because I do think that this is really realistic content. It is the way that kids are talking, and it is the kind of stuff that's going on in school. And so I hope that it can be used as a tool or a conversation starter.
Hilary Frank, producer, writer, and director for Here Lies Me. In addition to the story and the acting, there are two things I really love about Here Lies Me: the music throughout the series.
Here Lies Me!
And the scream at the very beginning.
Cross my heart, hope to die!
Hillary pulls back the curtain on how those two elements were produced at the post for this episode of How Sound at transom.org. I have talked to a lot of producers over the years, and not everyone is great at talking about the craft. Hillary is. That's why she's been featured on two other episodes of How Sound. In one episode, we talked about launching her podcast, The Longest Shortest Time. On another, we took a deep dive into the beauty of having a character change over time in a story. Both of those episodes are at Transom. Thanks to Ari Daniel and Jay Allison, who scrutinized my scripts. And all props to PRX, as well as the Transom crew in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Without them, How Sound wouldn't exist. I'm Rob Rosenthal. Thanks for listening.
From PRX. And Transom.org.